Time to catch up with my favourite human, a man who, like me, looks at the stars and thinks there's got to be something more out there. David Renicky, welcome, sir. It's good to have you back.
Yeah, good to be back with you, Bill. I've just ducked inside, left the telescope out, so I'll be out there in about 10 minutes' time again.
Yeah, no worries. Now, tell us, Russia's space program, we don't hear much about it. There must be more going on than what, you know, we hear about them, you know, bumping into space stations and things like that. What's going on?
Yeah, look, a bit of a basket case. Unfortunately, you know, the Soviet Union were, well, I want to say unfortunately, they're nothing like they used to be. In the early days, of course, you know, we had the space race, and was America and Russia fitting their technology together, and the Russians appeared to be in front there for quite a while. But what we didn't know, there were a lot of mishaps that weren't telegraphed ahead of time or weren't let out to the general press population. America always sold the mission, told people what was going on, the cameras were there. But the Soviet Union only announced their launches after they happened. Now, in recent years, of course, we've had a lot of things go wrong. There's been booster problems. We've got astronauts almost killed in one launch from a Russian vehicle. We've got now the situation we talked about last week, I think it was, where the booster, the little spacecraft booster sitting on the space station, little cargo ship accidentally fired its thrusters. There are a lot of other things that have happened down there, and it turns out that, you know, these mistakes and these oversights are because Russia having a lot of trouble. Roscosmos is the Russian version of NASA, had a lot of trouble paying their engineers and their technicians a living wage. So they're getting substandard employees in there and people who really don't know what they're doing. So to that end, America has said to them, look, we don't quite understand you, but we're going to have to part ways. They've been together for quite a while with the space station. Russia have been charging America's astronauts $60 million a time.
Wow.
Well, they're charging NASA to fly.
They probably needed the cold hard cash, though, didn't they?
Well, they did at the time, and it bolstered their space program, but they're getting worse. Things are going wrong, and it turns out that they've seen the light, and they've realised that, you know, with the collapse of the Soviet Union there a few decades back, and the fact that there are a lot of other things in the world to be looking out for, money's a bit tight, and they've decided to go with China. So they're pitting the rest of their technology and their knowledge and their experience and mixing it in with China. That's okay for them to go their own way. But NASA said we don't care anymore. So now we've got SpaceX, and, you know, Elon Musk has been launching, or will be, and continue to launch at a much cheaper price. But the Russian space program, unfortunately, is fragmented to the point, Bilko, where it's nothing like it used to be. Those great days are now gone, and what we're looking at now is the space programs around the world are mainly going to be run by these business tycoons that we've been talking about so many times.
Now, Russia needs to take a leaf out of what Canada's doing. Apparently, SpaceX and this startup want to launch a satellite that's going to be beaming ads into space. I mean, this is sacrilege, isn't it?
Well, look, yeah, you remember the opening scenes of the Jetsons when George is flying home and he's dodging all the billboards and all the, you know, asteroids with signs on them and God knows what else. Well, there's a company in Canada, a startup company, a technology company called Geometric Energy Corp. They've teamed up with Elon Musk. God, this place and everything, isn't he? He's going to launch these CubeSats that they put together. Now, these are an advertising concept. A whole bunch of these go into one satellite. They're only tiny, but they pack a lot of technology. And one thing they do, they've got a display screen that they can pop out. So the idea is that you pay them a certain amount of money to have your logo, your artwork, your face if you want it, anything you want, pop up on a screen, like you're sitting in the theatre and the ads come up, with the background of the Earth in there and, you know, stars in the background as well. And you can have that up there to stream back. It's not going to be seen by everybody unless you stream it on YouTube or any other platform you want to anywhere in the world, 21 you want. So people can tune in and they will, just for the curiosity factor, you know.
So that'll last about 12 months. It's not sustainable long term, though, is it really?
No, well, who knows? I mean, these sort of gimmicks come and go, but CubeSat's going to be released in 2022. You've got to buy, the only thing I don't like, you've got to buy tokens. This is how they get paid, and it's cryptocurrencies. And there's a new one I've not heard of called Dogecoin.
Yeah, right.
Coming up now. So look, be careful of this one, but there will be people that will take advantage of it. And I can see a time coming when, you know, someone's going to want to beam up with a high-powered laser ray a logo on the face of the moon. So
yeah, don't worry. It's coming.
That, you know?
Maybe Russia to try and get their space program.
Who knows?
Bit of
anyway,
crust. Anyway.
It's commercialization of space to the nth degree. So we're seeing now, you know, not only the media, not the media, the dot-com tycoons coming into it, but also startup companies who want to be part of it as well.
And look, that's got to be the future, and we may have to accept that, unfortunately.
It is part of life at the moment, yes, anyway. As long as with everything else we've got to put up with.
Now, what about this evidence? Pluto has an ocean under its crust. I would have thought there's nothing liquid at all on that planet.
That's what we all thought, yeah. What a surprise this has been. Here's a world that we found in 1930. We haven't really bothered with it for quite a long time. But in 2015, we launched a spacecraft to arrive there. In 2015, it did. And this spacecraft carried a lot of sophisticated equipment. More so, cameras that can really scan and probe from orbit. And what they found is there's something about Pluto we've missed. It seems to have a subsurface ocean.
Right.
They're looking at cracks or ripples in the output photographs coming back. And it could be there could be an ocean there, a large ocean, probably 150K thick. And it may be water. It could be methane. We don't know. But at this stage, the chances are pretty good from what we've seen elsewhere, where there could be an ocean on this mysterious little world. We never expected that. Pluto's always been a place where you would think nothing has ever happened there. It's a dry, cold, you know. But look, it's not. It's got everything going for it. And what it points to, it could be that Pluto is a runaway moon of Neptune.
Yes,
or
right.
Even Uranus, or perhaps even Jupiter. Because we're seeing these moons around these worlds that are full of ice and do have substantial amounts of cracks and fissures in them. So Pluto is a little ice planet that may be a reservoir, a water reservoir for future travellers there, Bilko.
Which is good. And it's probably going to lose its planet status again. It's sort of come into planet status and moved out over the years, hasn't it? So.
Well, it has, and I don't think it'll ever come back. It's still considered a dwarf planet.
Yeah.
And it'll always remain that way, but certainly one of the big surprises of the last few years, yeah.
What about this story here? NASA's new spacesuits are delayed, so that means we won't be getting to the moon anytime soon.
No, your suit's still being made. They're working on it. Great idea, this one. About time. The bulky suits you saw with the Apollo missions are all part of the distant past and relegated to the antiquity of museums now. Very inflexible they were. They didn't have any wave you could bend over properly. If you did and you fell over, you couldn't get up. These new ones are all sort of space-age material in them and very well-designed, very flexible too, and more than likely unisex, which is a good idea. You save money that way.
Can you go to the toilet in them, though?
Yeah, well, the plumbing's going to be a little bit different. But it just means that these suits now have been a reason why the return to the moon has been put off, unfortunately. We were going to go back in 2024. And a crew has already, you know, been selected to do that, but there is a hold-up. Now, the suits were farmed out to 27 different companies, all playing a different part of it, you know, putting it together piecemeal, bit by bit. There's a lot of companies for one suit, and some of them just can't come up to production deadlines because of what's going on in the world.
Yeah, too much. Well, that's the thing. I mean, research into that technology is probably not, the money's not available as much. So.
No, well, the good part about these suits is the fact that they're going to be so light to wear and they're going to be easy to use. We could very well see what I predicted a lot of other people do, that when we do go back there, maybe a year after 2025, that one of the people wearing that suit will be a woman walking on the moon.
Good stuff. Saw Hidden Figures on free to wear the other night. Gee, that's a good movie.
You?
Yeah, good movie.
It was good. What did you get out of it mainly?
You know, I got out of it the fact that you had someone running NASA at the time who was enlightened enough to allow her expertise to come through. The thing was, it's all about saving the mission.
Yeah.
The guys heading into the, you know, upwards in the craft were wanting to put their confidence in those human calculators because that's what they needed.
But didn't it really point out the blokiness of the organisation in the early years.
Yeah, just disgusting.
That's the way. Anyway, good movie. If you haven't seen it, if any your listeners haven't seen it, it's probably one of the top five movies I've ever seen. Yeah. You know,
get into it when you can. DavidRenicki.com has links to more of these stories. David, till next week, my friend.
Thanks, Bill. Okay, bye.